The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You know, and I guess I have to say this probably every year, but it seems like every year it seems more appropriate to say it. But as never before, I believe that the Christians of America need to replace celebrating the holiday with the celebration of Christmas. We really need it. The news and the things that are going on, especially today with the just bitter hatred that we're seeing from so many different places, the attempts to remove a duly elected president for trivial matters. If it was serious, you know, I'd be there too. Richard Nixon did some things that were illegal and wrong, and, you know, he needed to be moved on. Either through the impeachment and conviction process in the Senate, or to resign. He chose to resign. But I don't believe that what we're seeing today and hearing today is valid. It's not what our founding fathers had really put together. And I'm not here to give a political speech, but I'm just saying the atmosphere is such that we need to get our vision and our sight in our heart back on the things that are important. And Christmas is a great time for us to do that. This child that was promised through Isaiah the prophet, as he said these things, he said the child would give us a time to rejoice. And so we should be rejoicing in the midst of everything that's going on. Let me tell you what, folks. If you don't learn how to laugh and enjoy life, you're going to go crazy. All right? There's a time to be sober, but there's also a time to rejoice. And the Christmas time is a time to rejoice. So just forget about all the other stuff that's just trying to overshadow us. And let's focus on things worth rejoicing. Here's some good news. You may not have gotten it. I tried to get an email out to everyone. But the United States Supreme Court made a wonderful decision this past week. They upheld Tennessee law that said before an abortion can be performed, they must do an ultrasound and they must let the expectant mother hear the heartbeat of the baby. That is really a huge thing. I mean, that's really big. And so, I know from speaking with Cindy Collins, and others on this particular subject, when women see ultrasounds and hear the heartbeat of a child, they, in 99.9 times out of 100, they will not have an abortion. They'll realize that it's a real life and a real baby within them. So it's a time of rejoicing. Mary had a child within a womb. Thank God there wasn't an abortion clinic around town. You know, thank God that she said, "Lord, be it done unto me according to your word," you know. And so we rejoice in that today. So the child would bring order to the world. Our world needs some order. It is out of order. There's disorder everywhere. So he would bring order to the world, that the child would rule forever. Jesus didn't begin at Bethlehem, and he didn't end at Calvary. He is the everlasting God. And he was before it began, and he'll be after it's all over with, when there's no longer any earth that you and I would recognize, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. He'll still be the King of Glory, all right? And so that's what he came to do. He'll rule forever and ever and ever. And a lot of folks have tried to discredit him, trying to say, "Oh, that's just humbug, it's just..." And I used to be part of that crowd, so I know what I'm talking about. But I discovered, as many of you have discovered, the Christ child, and it changed your life forever. Said that this child would be God incarnate. And that's what the angel told Mary. You know, she will receive a child in your womb. And this will be the Son of God. This is going to be a miracle. This is going to be something that we talked about for the ages. And I'm just kind of filling in a few blank spots in that great conversation. But we don't need another holiday. But what we do need is a time of celebration and rejoicing in who the Christ child is. Just get in the Spirit. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another. This may be your last Christmas. Now think about it. Maybe your last time to celebrate and be with your family and enjoy the Christ child and all that's involved in that. I mean, I don't have any crystal ball to know how long we're going to be here. We might be here for another 20, 30, 40 years. I'm hoping not, but you never know. You know, I'm a little worn out. I don't know, unless I get some kind of refurbishment, I don't think I can make it that long. But we desperately need a holy day. A holy day to honor the Christ child. I was with the men's meeting breakfast Saturday, and I said something. And one thing I have a lot of respect, by the way. I'm not opposed to a lot of various churches and the way they worship the Lord. I've been there. Everybody's doing some good things. And one thing I like about the Catholic Church said, on Christmas, you go on a Mass. You go on to church. And if you don't go, it's a mortal sin. And if you die in mortal sin, you're going to hell for not going to church. And I don't believe that that's true, but I do like the idea. You know, in Protestantism, we've kind of moved away from that. You know, I don't want to meet on New Year's Eve because, you know, we're getting ready for, Christmas coming up and the kids are coming over, the grandkids, and so we don't want to do anything on Christmas Eve. And, Christmas Day, I mean, the kids are looking at presents, you know, and we got things to do. We're going to Aunt Mabel's and Uncle John's and we're going to eat dinner. And, you know, we just don't have time for it. And I'm guilty of it. You know, we've done this, and maybe that's something we need to rethink as a culture in the Protestant arena and learn something from the Catholic Church. It is a special day, and we need to celebrate it, and a good place to celebrate it is in church on Christmas morning, okay? So I'm not announcing that we're going to have services. We tried doing that, and there was so few of us, the cockroaches came and filled in the chairs and applauded what we were doing. So, but you can have a holy day in your homes. You can make it a church service. You can read the Christmas story. You can talk about the Christ child. You just take the floor. You say, well, my family may not like it. Well, you know what? They're not going to like much of what you do anyhow. You know? So if they don't like it, just tell them, and especially if they're in your house, don't worry about it. That's your little fiefdom, your little kingdom. So, but try to put Christ in your Christmas celebration this year. You'll enjoy it, and I promise you others will enjoy it too, especially children. We can't make the government or any retail establishment recognize Christmas as a holy day. They are not going to do it. And they got a million reasons why not. And if you're like me, you know, I get torqued every time I go into somewhere and shopping, and I'll say Merry Christmas, and I'll say Happy Holidays. I'll say Merry Christmas, you know, just to emphasize it. And I know they're getting it from high up in their ranks. You know, we want to wish people a Happy Holiday. I know it's a holiday season. I'm not stupid. I understand that, but it's a Christmas Christ child that makes it all possible. If Jesus hadn't come, if he hadn't been born in a manger, if we didn't have this great tradition passed down to us through the ages for Christmas, the retailers would be broke. And maybe some of them ought to be broke. You know, but that's another story, all right? But we can make our Christmas into a holy day of celebration. So let's look at some reasons why and how Christmas ought to be celebrated, all right? So here we go. You choose to seek Christ at Christmas. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's NIV. After Christ was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, and I put this in, highlighted it for you, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. Isn't it amazing that wise men from the east had to go to the most holy place in all of Israel and ask him, where is the one? You know, you think that they would have known, but as that old song says, they were looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, they were looking for Christ, and they wasn't thinking he was really going to show up one day. And while I'm there, let me give you a little something to think about. They knew he was coming, but they didn't recognize him when he came. They just really wasn't expected to happen. Jesus said, I'm coming back. He is coming. You'd be well served to think about that. You know, we may not get finished his service and Jesus will show up. He said he was coming, and he showed up suddenly, and the religious crowd didn't know it. And so it would be well served for us to know up about it and to be looking for it. Those magi were certainly the wisest people in the Christmas story. You know, they went looking for it. They asked the question, where is the one? And that didn't say, where is a one? Where is the one? These guys were philosophers and studiers, and they had evidently from where they came from, probably got a lot of stuff from those who had been held in captivity when Israel was captured, and probably from Daniel and from others. And they knew about this one that was coming, and that it was prophesied that a star would lead the way. And they followed that star and found that Christ child. Now, those of you who are theologians in here, you know, and I agree with you, it didn't happen on the day that Jesus was born, okay? They came later. It said, well, even says it, that they went to the house where he was, right? But it's all part of the story, so it's relevant for us to talk about it today. Christmas will be ho-hum unless we look for the one. Huh? It's just going to be another day. I'm always interested in how people respond to questions when you ask them a question and not expect it. And Saturday, I asked the guys, I said, how many of you remember the Christmas presents you got? Can you think of one? And they all had this puzzled look, and they finally thought about it. And it was amazing the things that they remembered. Getting a cap gun, you know, the boys get. No, and who was it? Robert got two cap guns. He had double Roy Roy his holsters, you know. I remember that. But we spend so much time and energy and money looking for Christmas presents to make somebody happy, and they don't even remember it, you know. They don't even remember it. And so I changed your question around a little bit. I said, what is the greatest remembrance? And I like George's answer. He said, because I got a grandbaby on the 23rd, all right. And that's something worthwhile remembering. So, you know, if our focus is in the right place, if you want a Christmas to remember, celebrate Christ instead of the holiday, and you will remember it. Who knows? Maybe a grandchild, maybe a parent, maybe an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, or just a friend might come to Christ. Those are the Christmases that I remember more than anything else. I'll tell you a Christmas story. My daughter was down in Florida, and she was in her car driving someplace with a girlfriend of us. And she called on the phone, and she was just chit-chatting, whatever the subject was. And she said that Lorraine, her friend, was in the car with her. And I knew that Lorraine and her husband were not church folks. You know, they didn't go to church. And I said, is Lorraine going to church with you Sunday? It was right before, you know, the Easter, Christmas Sunday was coming. And she said, I don't know, ask her. And she put the phone into Lorraine's hand. And so Lorraine said, oh, hi, Ma. I said, hey, Lorraine. I said, are you going to Christmas services with Tiffany Sunday? And she said, and she gave me the typical answer, you know, oh, well, I said, look, even the heathen go to church on Christmas. And she said, well, I never thought about it like that. And the reason I remember this Christmas, because she and her husband went to services on that Christmas Sunday, and both of them came to Christ. And both of them are serving the Lord. That was many, many years ago. So, you know, that'll give you something to remember. You know, and it's okay to remind people that heathen go. You're not calling them a heathen. You're saying that heathens go, and they'll get the message, okay? They'll get the message. So, we're not going to find Christ at, Best Buy, and we're not going to find it at Macy's or Dillard's or you know, all the various places we go, or eBay or Amazon. You're just not going to find him there. Finding Christ is doing what the Magi did. They left their comfort zone and they went to where he was. See, sometimes it's going to inconvenience you to find Christ. Sometimes it's going to take you doing something that you wouldn't necessarily be planning on doing. And, you know, if you decided to talk about Christ at this Christmas with the people, you're going to find maybe your heart rate's going to go up. Maybe your blood pressure is going to go up a little bit. Don't worry about it. Most of you old enough now, you all have heart pressure medicine. Just take a pill. You know, make sure you don't kill yourself, all right? And then tell people about it. You know, this is my personal testimony, and I bet most of you could testify to this. I've led more people to Christ outside the church than inside the church, you know. So a lot of folks that you care about are not coming to church. They hopefully they'll come, but, you know, it'd be great if they came, but they're not coming for all the various reasons. They don't like preachers. They don't like church. They got hurt in church. Somebody, you know, brushed them the wrong way and they're angry. They don't want to be a part of it anymore. How many times have I told you this? Jesus will save your soul and the church will do what? Save your life. It's being around other believers that saves your life. Gives you that commonality with folks that you're not going to get on the outside world. But you can bring this message because you love someone. If you care about someone, if you believe the Bible, and if you believe in God, there is a heaven to gain. But I'm telling you what, and I don't want to preach this on Christmas season, but there's also a hell to shun. You know, people will be in eternity in hell if they don't find Christ, and if you don't tell them, who's going to do it? You know, I can't get to them. I don't even know them. But you do. So use your influence that you have with your family members, if you love them. Don't spend Christmas overspending and overpartying and overholidaying. Spend it thinking about the Christ child and spreading the word about him like the wise men did. Do you want to celebrate Christ at Christmas? Then you need to seek him. You need to look for him. I mean, just make it a conscious effort to look for him. The Magi paid the price so that they could find and that they could worship the one. They abandoned the easy road. Easy road is just stay home. You know, it's a lot easier just to stay home, and it's a lot easier just to be quiet. But they abandoned the easy road, and they went and followed the star to get where the action was. They actually made the action when they got there. All right? They went to where the holy city, where the Christ child was. They went there. And a lot of times folks need to come to church where they can hear the word. I'll make this commitment to you. You bring some of your lost relatives here next week, I promise you they won't leave out of this place without hearing how to get saved. I'll make sure they know. I know everybody here, and I know all of you have made your decisions for Christ, so I'm not going to, you know, take you down that mandatory, you know, let's pray and you can receive Christ into your life. But if you bring some lost people here, I won't let them out without telling them. And there'll be a captive audience, with Robert's in the back, he's a big boy, ain't nobody getting out of here unless I tell him to let them out. So Robert will keep them in here, and they will hear the story. At least they won't be able to get to heaven one day and say, well, I didn't know, I'll make sure they know. Alright? So you bring him here, I'll clean them up and send them back out, all right? And then they can grow from there. And they ask the question, where's the one? And sometimes you need to ask this of yourself in your life in this Christmas, and ask, is Christ being manifest where I am? Don't worry about the rest of the world, just worry about where you are. Is Christ being manifest where you are? And if it's not, as somebody said in a sermon many years ago, sinner, change your ways. You know, just change your ways and make sure that Christ is recognized. And then be prepared to worship the Christ child. That's what they did. they worship the Christ child. Okay, so that's the first thing I want you to think about. Next thing is, you choose to speak of Christ at Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. So they hurried off, this is the shepherds now, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know why they're amazed? Because nobody expected the shepherds to say anything. I mean, they were kind of the bottom of the food chain. You know, these weren't the rich aristocrats. They weren't the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. These were the common folks. And they were amazed at what they had to say. Do you know why they had something to say? Look right here. They hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. They went to see and they found it. Everyone else is going to be chatting about things in the commercial Christmas spirit. There'll be a lot of football, and I'm all in favor of football and all that stuff. But that's not the story. That's not Christmas. The shepherds were doing what they always do. They were tending the sheep. All right? And when people are doing what they always do at Christmas, wouldn't it be a surprise if you told them about the Christ child? No? And they got the story. You know what happens to people who get the story? They go tell other people about it. My daddy, I led him to the Lord, but he was in his mid-60s, early 60s. He was a good Italian guy, you know, and he was happy being who he was until I told him the story of Jesus, and he received Christ into his life. Now, only heaven will prove out what I'm about to tell you is true or not. But in a very large family, in my mother's side of the family, there were 9 children, siblings. So, you know, a bunch of kids and a bunch of grandkids, et cetera, et cetera. My dad's side, there were 11, right? So a whole lot of people. And so far as I know, and nobody's proved me wrong yet, I'm the first to receive Christ in the family. And I told my dad. And my dad received Christ in his life. So you know what he started doing? Telling everybody. He told everybody he could. At this point in time, my generation, my dad's generation, in my generation, and most of the ones that I've met of the next generation are all born-again believers today. We're talking hundreds of people. Hundreds of people who have received Christ into their life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But what it is somebody told them about come see Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. And that was my dad in many ways, all right? I won't get into the story, but just a little quick highlight. They had a couple of Catholic priests came to my daddy's door, knocked on the door, and they were visiting the neighborhood. I am going to tell a story, but I'm going to give you a bridge version. My dad invited them in, and the first thing he asked him, do you know Jesus is your Savior? He said, he just brought my answer. And they didn't know how to respond, but he said, yeah. And my dad says, well, why are you teaching this stuff? And he started going through the Bible, showing them all the stuff they were teaching when it was wrong. Well, my mother said they couldn't wait to get out of the door. And my dad wouldn't let them out. He made them stay until he finally got finished telling the truth. And I know that they walked down the street just shaking their head. Who is that crazy Italian guy we just ran into? But maybe they didn't get away from the truth that my dad gave them. And by the way, none of you here are as uneducated as my dad. My dad only had a 4th grade education. His English was something to behold. I mean, it was, and that's where I get my good linguist capabilities from. But he just told the story. God chose to announce the birth of Jesus to the most unlikely critters on the planet. That was the shepherds. And he chose to tell you, and he chose to use you to tell others. They won't get it by osmosis. Let me give you a little commercial on this. People are not as smart as you think they are. I'm telling you why. Because you will use religious jargon around people. And you say, oh, well, God cares about you. you know, or, you know, it would be nice to go to church. You know, to use, you know, I'm saved. Hey, I have no clue what you're talking about. The only thing they're going to understand is when you sit down with the Bible and say, let me show you something in the Bible. And you show them for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. You know? Or, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You got to get specific with people. I heard people talk about God all my life. In fact, I talked about Him a lot, usually swearing. You know? But when somebody showed it to me, then I was able to understand. So they're not going to get this just because you're a nice Christian at Christmas. They'll understand it if you tell them the story. Just like I think that was great what Miss Rose did. Just ask them, do you know what Christmas is all about? Do you really know? And they'll give you pretty much the same answer she got from her eye doctor. But if you just share the story, everybody needs Christ. You won't find a person on the planet that doesn't need Christ. And they will be, people will listen, especially if you talk to them before dinner. Because they're going to listen to anything you got to say so they can get to that turkey, all right? So, you know, be strategic in what you're doing. These shepherds had to make a choice. They could either stay where they were and do what they always were doing, or they could make a change and go see what was going on. How would you have loved to have been a friend to one of these shepherds? How many times do you think they told the story of the day they heard the angels speak, and of the day they found out that the Christ child was born, and they left the sheep to take care of themselves, and they went to see what was going on. And this scripture says that when they left, when they had seen this, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said. I believe with the last dying breath, this shepherd said, I still remember the day. I remember the day. I remember when I got there. And there were the people all around because of, you know, the tax rolls and the census that was being taken. And there was this couple, just a young couple, and a baby. There's something different about that baby. And they knew it was a Christ child because they had been told. And they got witness to their spirit. So if you tell the story, you can make this the most memorable Christmas for someone else by telling them the story of the Christ child. How great it would be to get saved on a great holiday. My mother got saved on Easter. Wasn't it Easter? Yeah, Easter. And I promise you, she remembered that Easter more than any other Easter in her life. So, and what? My mom did. She passed away on Good Friday. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing them again one day, Mom and Pop. I can just hear my daddy say, Hey, Morris! I'm not going to tell you what he called me, his pet name for me, because if I tell you, you'll be calling me that. But I can hear him calling me with that pet name right now. It'll cost you something. It's expensive. It's going to cost you something to celebrate Christmas. You're going to have to change and leave behind some of the old traditions and get to the new traditions. You might say, well, the shepherds could have said, well, what about the sheep? What about the stuff? God took care of the sheep. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it, but I suspect when they got back, those sheep were right where they left them. You know, I think they were right there. I guess he told those angels, hey, just herd the sheep up for a little while. The boys will be back in a bit. What can you tell them? You can tell what you know. These guys were not theologians, but they told what they knew and what they saw. Tell folks what you know and what you saw. That's all we're required to do. If you seek God at Christmas, you will find Him at Christmas. You can find Him any other time, but this is a good time to seek Him. Use this holiday season, and I use that word in a broader sense, to celebrate the reason for Christmas, and you will enjoy. Do yourself a favor. You'll enjoy it much more. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll feel better about this commercial holiday called the Christmas season, because you'll know that Christ was in your Christmas season. So the shepherds hurried off to see this Christ child, and they saw him, and they were changed eternally. You can't wait for tomorrow. You have to do it today. What did those shepherds do? The third word in this passage, and they hurried off. Sense of urgency. Going to be a sense of urgency about this Christmas for you. You know, you don't know that people that you love are going to be around to hear your story much longer. So do it, as they say, strike while the iron is hot. Abandon whatever has got you busy, put it on the side, back burner, and move forward. Okay. Third thing is, you choose to worship Christ at Christmas. Luke 2:20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Once the shepherds found the one, that the Magi came later and found the one, they celebrated it by worshiping and praising God. Worshiping and praising God. The Christmas holiday should be a time of worshiping and not just another happy holiday. I don't even like our greeting. Now, don't get mad at me. I don't know where we got this from. Have a Merry Christmas. What does that mean? Merry Christmas. How's about have a blessed Christmas? How's about have a holy Christmas? You know, how's about having an encounter with God Christmas? You know, and I know that, and I'm guilty too. You know, we get mad because it's telling us to have a happy holiday. Say, we want them to say Merry Christmas. Well, I don't want them to say Merry Christmas. I want them to say blessed Christmas. Now, be blessed this Christmas. Make it a time of blessings. It's not about merriment. You can get merriment with a bottle of cheap wine. I mean, you know. But you want to have a something that's lasting, something that has blessings for you and the others around you. We want to be blessings, and we want to be blessed. Christmas should be a time of worship. But we've made it into a time of happiness. And many, many, many people will not be happy this Christmas because they've got nothing to be happy about. The sparkling lights, the trees, the Christmas songs only drive them deeper and deeper into the depression that they're in. But you can make it a blessed Christmas for them by telling them the story of the Christ child and praising God and telling about the wonders that God has done in your life when you found the Christ child and what a difference it made in you and in your life and in your family. That's the real joy of the Christmas season, is what Christ has done in your life. Christmas was always a time of fun and happiness, but it became a time of blessings and wonderment to me. And I love to worship God. Now, worshiping God is not just songs, and although songs are wonderful, but a lot of what we call Christmas songs have nothing to do with Christ. You know, and they're beautiful songs. I'll Be Home for Christmas is a beautiful song. It was written in World War II about all the soldiers who were so far away, and they wanted to be home for Christmas. Or Jingle Bells. It's a nice little, you know, make you tap your feet, and it's kind of happy. But man, I like the Silent Night songs. You know, Oh Holy Night. I love the story and the lyrics that tell the story. Those are the best Christmas songs. Those are the ones that'll, you know, get you worshiping God. You're not going to worship God with jingle bells, but you might worship Him with O Holy Night. And I love the line in the song. It said, the earth was pining away. It was just pining when the Christ child showed up. He made the difference. And that'll make you worship God. That'll get you in a spirit of worship. Listen to some really good Christmas songs. And get yourself an old hymnal, if you got one. And go read some of the old Christmas songs. They were amazing. We don't have too many of those good written songs anymore. A lot of them are just kind of jazzy. But they had one that just came out several years ago. It's been more than several years now. That has really touched me, but it's a modern song. It's Mary, Did You Know? You know? Man, that song's got some power behind it. Did you know? Man, first time I heard that song, man, I had to get a bucket to hold my tears. I mean, Mary, did you know when you kiss that little baby, that you kiss the face of God? What a powerful statement to make, all right? I mean, it really kind of, you know, you vicariously find yourself there. But that'll get you in the idea of worshiping and celebrating with a sense of joy and blessedness. Christmas will be as holy as you want it to be. It's your choice. It can be just another Christmas or go into the annals of your mind and you won't even remember. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but most of us can't remember last Christmas. Nothing that dramatic happened. You know, you got some presents that you didn't want and you took them back. You know, to get something you did want. You know? Or you gave somebody a present and they didn't like it. And you know they didn't like it the way they got it. Because they said, oh, thank you. They didn't say, oh, man, thank you. I've been praying for this. I really wanted this, you know? That's what presents do for you. You want to make somebody happy at Christmas? Go get a solid bar of gold and give that to them. That'll give them a happy Christmas. That's what Jesus got. He got some gold and frankincense and myrrh. He got, you know, well, that's, I don't know where I'm going with that. Just forget about that. Highlight the presence of God and not the presence of God. You just use that play on words. Highlight the gift of life that came, and not the merriment of the holiday. Concentrate on the life. You know if that child had not been born, that you would have no life? You'd still be dead in your sins, waiting for the Christ child to come. But He has come. And he brings life with Him. And not only the newness of life and a spiritual rebirth, but it gives you the joy of life, a sense of well-being. You know, the Scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It doesn't say the happiness of our life. It said the joy. Joy is a sense of well-being, a sense that, you know, okay. And, you know, some of you may have some bad medical diagnosis. I found out last night that my cousin, who's about 10 years younger than I am, maybe not quite 10 years younger than I am, just found out that he's got cancer, you know? And there's no happiness in that. But Joey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he follows the Lord. And there's such a joy in it all. You know, I was talking to his sister, and he said that he said he's not sure he wants to go through the chemotherapy and all that. He said, you know, he'd like to have a quality of life before and not leave out of here, you know, with all that you go through. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what he said. He said, because he knows where he's going. You know, that's that joy, that's that sense of well-being that in the midst of any tragedy, God can get you through it. I've seen people, and you've probably some of them, and you know some, who've gone through the worst tragedies imaginable in life, and you say, how in heaven's name did they get through it? And the answer is, God took me through it. Amen. God took me through it. And He's the one who takes us through. So, I highlight His coming into the world and not the world's celebration. Make sure you focus on that this year, all right? That will give you this celebration of Christmas. You put the brakes on a hectic holiday. Just step on the brake, just like you step on the brake in your car. You don't need to shop and get into debt giving presents to people who won't remember them, and honestly, they just don't care that much. You want to give somebody something special for Christmas? I'll tell you something, dude. Write them a letter. You just sit down with pencil and paper or an iPad or whatever you want to use and write somebody a letter and tell them how much they mean to you. I don't know anybody who wouldn't be overjoyed to get something like that from you. You can go buy them a new flashy light thing or another pair of socks or shirt. I don't remember. Take that time. Instead of going down and fighting the crowd down at the mall, just sit down and write a letter to someone and give it to them. I heard a man say one day that he found a letter that his dad had written to his mother, telling how much he loved her and what he cared for, how he cared for her. And she had treasured that all the days of her life. And when she died, he found that. And that inspired me. I actually wrote a letter to Pat, and I've written letters to people. I don't know what I think about them. I care. There's something special about getting something in somebody's words. You know, say, this is what I think about you. That'll change Christmas. You know what it'll do? It'll change you. And it'll change them when they receive it. Because out of your heart will flow a love for that person. And you'll be able to say things that maybe you'd be embarrassed to say eyeball to eyeball. But you can say, you know why you're so special to me? Do you remember the time when I was, and you were there? And they'll know, and they'll know that you remember. And at the bottom of the letter, if they don't know the Lord, just tell them, and Jesus wants to save your soul. He loves you more than I do. Huh? So just do that instead of going crazy at the mall. You don't need to rush to every party that everyone's going to have. No. Schedule your time. I hate it when I do this, and I'm guilty of it. I'll say, I'm so glad Christmas is over with. I do that because we wear ourselves out trying to do everything. You can't do everything, so don't do that to yourself. Now, do what you can and enjoy it and make everything you do special, but don't feel bad if you can't do everything. Don't worry about it. You don't need another reason to dread the Christmas season. Don't be dreading it. I've purposed in my mind this year that I am going to enjoy Christmas, that I am going to make this special. It's something about the tick of the clock on 80. It makes you start realizing there may not be that many more ticks on the clock, all right? And start thinking about, well, you know what? Why waste a good Christmas season being worried about stuff? Pat and I had to press ourselves yesterday to do two things that were going to eat up a lot of our time. And we've learned that we could only do one thing successfully at our age. Try doing two things, we just wears us out. But we prayed about it, and we felt it was the right thing to do. And so we did both the things that we really were necessary. That were family things, and we did them. And they were both such a joy to us. And when we got home last night, about 10 o'clock, after a really long day, we were surprised at how good we felt. And we didn't feel tired or worn out. But you know what? We asked God to give us the strength to do it. And let it be a time of enjoyment. And it was. And, just a little side note, you know the fog that set in? We prayed for God to clear the fog up for us. There was the fog around, but it didn't close in on us all the way to New Orleans and all the way back. So, and I love it when the front wheels of my car come off that twin spans and I know I'm home. I just love it. I'm so glad when I get out in the waters and get back home. But that's just me. All right. So, make your Christmas simple this year. Give worship to the King. Find some time to worship the King. Get alone by yourself. Read the Christmas story. It's a great story. Don't get mad at me. If you love the King James Version of the Bible, don't read it in the King James Version. The New Living Translation, not the paraphrase Living Bible. That was a paraphrase. Paraphrase is somebody reads something and they say, oh, this is what I think it says. The New Living Translation is an actual translation from the original language, but it's put into more contemporary words. And it's real, it's very enlightening to read it, and it'll help you to get out of the, you get used to using the same words all the time. Read it in a different translation. If you use the Living Translation, go read it in the Message Bible. Now, that is a paraphrase, but it's a good one. It'll help you. So, just change your ways so that you read it, and when you read it, I'll challenge it. If you read the Christmas story, and when you're finished, if you don't like it, if you'll come see me, I will tell you a story to make you happy. I don't know what that story's going to be, but I'll think of something. No, I'm just kidding you. It'll help you. Because you think you know it, but it's when you sit down and you ponder it, just like this one little passage, Luke 2:20. The shepherds return. You know, sometimes you can't stay in that holy place all the time. But you can go back to where you need to be. So when they returned, they were glorifying and praising God. Why? Why were they glorifying and praising God? They had just seen the Son of God. My goodness, that'll make you glorify. If you read the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, reveals something new to you, that'll make you glorify God, all right? So they were doing that, and they were praising Him for all the things that they had heard and they had seen. What is the Holy Spirit going to show you this Christmas? Some new revelation in the Bible maybe you hadn't thought of before. Maybe you'll see something in a child this year or in a family member, something. He said, and it was just as they had been told. I'm tolling you. I'm tolling you. So after Christmas, you can come back to me and you can say, Morris, you were right. I just took you at your word. And I decided to do it, and it made a difference. You come tell me. I promise you, we'll both rejoice together. All right? So, that's the first part of why we celebrate Christmas, and I'm going to bring you the second part of it next week on Christmas, on the Sunday before Christmas. I hope this has encouraged you in the right direction. My purpose was to get you rethinking, because I want you to enjoy yourself for Christmas. I don't want you to get worn out and frazzled and, just tired and just make this a celebration this year. Sound like a good idea? Yeah. All right, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the story that we just went through. Really kind of a quick fashion. But this Christmas season, would you just show us the Christ child fresh and anew? Let us see the whole story. Let us see the frightened little girl by the name of Mary, young teenager, how she felt. How Joseph, her betrothed, must have felt when he found out she was pregnant and the concern that he had and how the angel came and spoke to him. And the difficulty of the trip with a pregnant woman going to do a political, governmental thing and for her child to be born in such a an unfriendly environment for a child. With the wise men who came, and Elizabeth, with who John the Baptizer leapt in the womb, when Mary, with Christ in her womb, walked into the together and they met. Father, let us read this story this year. And I ask you to let it bring life and hope and encouragement to each one of us. We thank you, Father. We praise you together. And we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, I'm up here. I'll be glad to pray for you. But other than that, have a blessed Christmas.